From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of March, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net, and we'll hear from Frayne Olson, agricultural economist at North Dakota State University Extension. I discuss with him how to use bins and the cost of storage on the farm. You'll want to hear that. And along the way, I'll remind you to tune in to our companion station tomorrow evening. That's WILL TV Channel 12 at 7 p.m. when Tractor Wars, the documentary, will air. You'll know, if you've been listening for a while, that last week, the author of the book Tractor Wars, Neil Dahlstrom, joined us at the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And tomorrow night, we'll air Tractor Wars on our companion station. Again, that's at 7 o'clock, Tractor Wars on WILL TV Channel 12. Now, stay with us for today's Closing Market Report here on Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org, celebrating 40 years of this program and some 10,000 episodes.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Just as an FYI, if you missed last week's All Day Ag Outlook, the audio is on our webpage at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. It's in the blog or the highlighted areas from the Farm Doc team. You'll see it says 2025 All Day Ag Outlook right there, so you can go ahead and click on that. You'll find the whole of the day there. Remember, there are no PowerPoints, so these are just audio, and you can listen to them in the car or the tractor or just while you're sitting at home. Now, let's turn our attention to the marketplace. What happened on this Monday? May corn at 472, up 2 3/4. July 2 3/4 higher at 478.5, and December at 455, 3/4 higher. May soybeans off 11 cents, settled at $10.14. July 10.28 1/4, down 10.5, and November soybeans at 10.17 3/4, down 7 3/4. Bean meal $2.10 lower. The bean oil down $1.16. Wheat futures soft red up 11.25. Settlement price there at 562.5 in the May. July at 577.25, up 11.75. In the hard red harvest month July, up 14 cents. It settled at $5.91 1/4. Live cattle futures at $200.57.5, up 30 cents. Feeders 277.92.5, down 22.5. Having lean hogs $88.30, up 95 cents. Crude oil a buck lower for the day. Diesel fuel down 3.5 cents, and gasoline at $2.09 9/10 cents, a penny and 7/10 cents lower on the wholesale price. The RBOB. Thank you much for being with us today, Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net. Out of Normal, Illinois. I bet you would like to be out of the office on a beautiful Monday afternoon.
Oh, man. Yeah, this weather forecast is just perfect in through here. If you just tell them to turn the wind down just a little bit, Todd.
Oh, it would be good to do that. So tell me what happened in Chicago today. I think there were a couple of interesting things that took place. Can you start with the soybeans?
Yeah, soybeans finished lower on the day. November soybeans actually had a little price reversal to the downside. Just uncertainty on trade and the South American crop coming online has really kind of kept the beans in check. Spread activity, buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat, selling beans. Bean oil down over a dollar. I think that's a little bit of spillover from the crude oil, the energy market being a little softer in here. But beans has just kind of been the anchor in through here. A lot of people are kind of wondering why beans aren't a whole lot lower, and the bean market's kind of in question here, particularly here if this tariff talk continues to escalate.
And so I did make note that overnight there were 142 deliveries against the March soybeans. J.P. Morgan customer apparently delivering the Bunge House account was the one who stopped that. That was interesting to me. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the corn market for the day, too, because while beans were off, corn managed not to be too bad, and wheat futures were higher for the day. What'd you see in those two places?
Yeah, the core market held in there. The thing is, on the managed money position, they're now long about a little over 200,000 contracts. So they liquidated over 120,000 contracts, and back to a more manageable level. Did see 126,000 ton corn sell to Japan, and it was 195,000 being sold to Nome, but that did not help the market. Shipments, we continue to ship out corn. We shipped out 1.8 million metric tons. They were looking for about 1.2, so these corn shipments are strong. Bean shipments were fairly good at 844 versus expectations of 650. But overall, the corn market's probably putting in a low weather premium. As you look at that second crop in the southern hemisphere, that forecast is starting to show a little bit of concern on dry conditions there, Todd.
Yeah, so we'll be watching that very closely, though that continues to be a good-sized crop. Tomorrow, USDA releases its World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, and then I believe on Thursday morning of this week, CONAB, the counterpart to USDA in Brazil, will bring out their updates. You'll be watching both sets of those numbers, I suppose.
Yeah, we're kind of dialed into maybe some slight changes, particularly on the U.S. numbers. This demand situation, this tariff is just uncertain. I mean, there's just extreme uncertainty there. So I don't know if they're going to move much off center there until we move a little further down the road. But you're correct. We'll probably see if that South American crop has a little bit more of a solid number as far as their production goes. But whenever I say slight changes, watch out. There could be something happen tomorrow that could be a surprise.
And then because your team was out at Commodity Classic in Denver last week, I'm wondering when they came back if they had a better feeling for what U.S. farmers believe they will plant this year in terms of acreage. We have that USDA acreage report to look forward to at the end of the month.
Corn. I feel sorry for these guys that sell bean seed. I don't think they sold one bag, Todd. It's heavy, heavy corn. They were really surprised. There's a whole list of different reasons on it, but boy, this corn number could be fairly large.
Does that tell you that you need to market earlier rather than later, or that you can ride this one out for a while?
Well, I tell you what, if you want to be right and flexible, what we've been doing is putting in some price floors. That way, if we run into some hot, dry weather and this corn runs to 6, 6.5, you can, you know, manage that position and participate. But if these tariffs kick in, we have large acres, favorable weather, and we go back below $4, you've got some downside protection. So these price floors are the best strategy here to give you some flexibility in some extremely volatile markets that's going to be coming at us, Todd.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you taking so much time with us today, Kurt.
You bet. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. You can hear it again if you'd like at WILLAG.org or in your favorite podcast applications. Just a quick note about the weather today, as Mark Russo is away and we won't be talking with him at the end of this program. Taking a look at what's happening in South America, the weather looks like the end of summer there, with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s across most of the continent, along with rainfall, about an 80% chance today and tomorrow, and then again on Friday and Saturday too in Brazil. The middle of the week will provide some rainfall maybe for Argentina, and temperatures will be slightly lower, but things look fairly decent for the crop there that is now maturing. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frayn Olson, agricultural economist with North Dakota State University Extension. He's in Fargo. Thank you very much, Frayn, for being with us. We have a fantastic week for weather on tap here. Is it colder in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt?
You know, actually, we're going to have a beautiful day today. We're going to be early part of the week. We're going to be in the low 60s, which is exceptionally warm for us. Unfortunately, the forecast right now is for potential blizzard by the time we get into the weekend. So welcome to March in the Northland. You can have sunny days and beauty in 60s, and you can have a blizzard showing up in a week later. So who knows? We're going to have to watch this new system coming through pretty carefully. But for right now, everybody is sitting back and really enjoying the beautiful weather.
It sounds a little bit like trade and tariffs and volatility in the commodity markets. So let's do talk a little bit about that. We'll begin with tomorrow's USDA monthly world ag supply and demand estimates. Will that include anything in terms of policy that has been set in place? And is there policy that should be included?
Well, that's a great question. So the USDA has a pretty hard standing rule that when they do their analysis, especially for the WASD reports, that they consider the policies that are in place the time that they do the analysis. So if there are existing tariffs or if there are existing trade issues going on, they will try and include those, but they're not going to try and get into this speculation game. They're not going to try and say, well, if this were to happen, this is what it might look like. So we do not expect to see any major adjustments. Obviously, on the production side, we're done with that argument. On the consumption side of the ledger, we don't expect any updates because of rumors or potential tariffs going on. I do think they might adjust export sales forecast a little bit based on, you know, what we've actually seen so far this marketing year. But we're really not expecting any major adjustments. When I look at what the industry, the pre-report industry estimates, none of the private forecasters or analysts are really expecting big changes. And so we have to keep that in mind. We will be watching the numbers, obviously, because there's always things that can change. But right now, we're not anticipating any major adjustments in the USDA numbers based on you know, discussions about tariffs and trade wars and reciprocal tariffs and retaliatory tariffs and all the things that we've been talking about the last several months.
History with the Trump administration in its first go around tells us that volatility in the marketplace will be around, particularly for agricultural products, as the president has a tendency to want to talk about them, and that moves the marketplace. How should producers organize themselves as it's related to marketing their crops?
Yeah, and that's a really common question I'm getting as I'm finishing up my winter meeting season here. Obviously, the first concern is let's understand what's going on. What are the proposals? What are the potential implications? And then the follow-up to that, and there's a lot of anxiety right now for a lot of the farmers that I'm talking to, not only to try and figure a plan or strategy for their old crop marketings, but also to thinking about new crop and new crop marketing. You know, and the question is, how do we, given this volatility and given the huge level of uncertainty, how do we try and plan around this? And I guess my recommendation is I like to use the KISS rule, keep it simple, stupid. Let's go back to some core basic strategies that we can pull out of the bag for our marketing plans. And one of those is to recognize that, number one, you as a farm manager are not fast enough to chase the marketplace. Things are happening so quickly. The volatility is so high that you can't chase the market. And so the challenge then is, how do we try and get in front of this? And the simplest strategy that I have found and in working with, again, farm managers as well as other industry people that are making recommendations to farmers, is sit down, put a plan together and say, at what price would you be willing to sell more? Okay. And a lot of that's obviously based on your cost of production, the cost of storage. Those are things that you know and have much, much more direct control over. So given those levels, at what price would you be willing to sell additional crop? And then put the orders in ahead of time. If you want to work with a broker and do futures only, that's great. If you want to work with a processor or a local elevator and do a cash-based sale where you lock in basis as well, you know, that's great. But put the orders in ahead of time. Pick those values and say, at this price level, I would be willing to sell X thousand bushels, and put the order in ahead of time. And then if those price levels are tripped or those targets are placed, are hit, at least you made some sales. And you can do that ahead of time while you're calm and have a chance to be able to do the math on it ahead of time, rather than getting caught up in the emotion of the moment and in the kind of the excitement of what's happening or the fear of what might be happening. Now, the challenge with that strategy, and it can be adjusted, obviously. You can adjust your plans as you go forward, if depending upon what happens and conditions are changing. But the temptation is, all right, once you get close to those price levels, I know of several farmers that would suddenly say, well, we're going to pull that order, we're going to increase the order just a little bit higher. And unfortunately, sometimes those orders never fill. So just be very cautious. If you put it together and in a calm moment, you say, I would be willing to sell more at this price level, it reaches those price levels, you've made those sales. So rather than you chasing the market, you're putting the targets in and let the market come to you.
Now, because only 15% of farmers use futures trade in any form, can we talk just a little bit about what to do as it's related to the cash side of this and how they might manage some of those cash sales? Particularly, I want to know about fall delivery versus futures months. I think it was you and I that had a discussion, and you told me that the cost of keeping grain for a month, if rather than using your bin, or if you wanted to know what your bin cost, just take a look at what your elevator's charging you, and that was probably pretty close. I want to know if I'm accurate on that. And then, given that, what does the marketplace tell you as it's related to making cash sales for fall or futures delivery for new crop, for corn and soybeans both?
Okay, so break this into pieces. So first, yes, when I have done the math on calculating at it from a farm manager's perspective, calculating the cost of holding grain on farm, and the big challenge is how do you cost out the bins themselves? And I guess when I'm doing my analysis, I'm saying, well, you already own the bins, you probably put those up to try and increase harvest efficiency. And so it's not something that like a storage enterprise or storage function would have to pay for. So if we exclude the cost of the bin themselves, and you just look at what is the cost of carrying the inventory as far as an opportunity cost on your interest, on the money you have invested, when you think about the cost of loading and unloading that bin, potentially some extra transportation costs from the bin into the elevator. When I look at what we call the marginal cost, the additional cost of storing that grain for an additional month, the costs at the farm level are very similar to the costs at the elevator level. And so if you're looking for a really quick proxy, if you look rather than going through all the math yourself, if you want to look for a really quick indicator, I usually point to what is the cost that the elevator charges you for their storage. And that's going to come pretty close to the cost that you're going to have on farm. So that's a really quick reference point. Now, coming back to old crop sales versus new crop sales. Well, if you're looking at new crop sales, and in most cases, you're thinking harvest delivery for that. So if you're looking at harvest delivery, the additional storage costs are going to be, basically zero. You're just delivering directly into the processor, into the local elevator. Now, if you're thinking about pricing, for example, old crop grain to be delivered in, let's say, July or August. Yeah, then you need to start thinking about, well, what's the price difference if I delivered today versus the prices that I would receive if I delivered, let's say, in August. Okay, and in that case, yes, the futures market will pay for some of that storage cost, but typically not 100%. So the other part of that is to look at, is there a change in the local basis levels? So yeah, we can look at the carry in the futures market. As you look at the deferred months in the futures, they're typically higher than they are for the nearby, which then is an indication of how badly or essentially what is the futures market willing to pay for storage. But there's also the cash dynamics to it. And so there can be improvement in basis levels depending upon, for example, when a processor needs to have additional grain delivered. There's also some differences, especially up here in the north, when we get into seasonal shipments. The export market out of the PNW tends to be very, very seasonal, and so we tend to have some basis improvement at harvest or shortly after harvest to try and get those trains filled and move through the system. So looking at the differences in the cash price, and does that additional improvement in cash prices cover the cost of storage? In some cases they do, in some cases they do not. But we want to separate marketing old crop grain from marketing new crop grain. And if you're marketing new crop grain and you want to deliver at harvest, that's pretty straightforward. If you're looking at pricing new crop grain for delivery later on, then it gets a little bit more complicated because you have to bring those on-farm storage costs back into play.
That was my discussion point there, was that I was thinking, if I had a bin, do I use it at fall? And how do you make that decision?
So again, in my thought process, if you have the bin, whether it's paid for or not, if you have the bin is going to be there. That's, in economics term, we call that a sunk cost. Whether you use it or you don't use it, that cost is there. And I know for a lot of farm managers, the reason they've put up that additional storage capacity is, again, for harvest efficiency. It's a lot quicker and easier typically to go from the field to your own bin versus going from the field into a grain elevator or a processor, especially during harvest and the peak of harvest. So a lot of that is, you know, that investment is to try and keep the combine flowing and to make sure that the grain doesn't back up. Well, once you have it in the bin, all of a sudden now the math changes. It's, well, how long do I store it? And then you look at what is the additional cost of storing the grain versus what is the additional value of price that I can pick up in the marketplace. Essentially, is the market paying me to store grain and deliver later to try and regulate this flow of grain through time? Or are they saying, no, we want the grain to flow today. We're not going to pay you an incentive to grow to deliver in the future. If you want to put it in the bin and store it, then you're speculating the cash market, which is fine, but just recognizing that you're speculating the cash market and that the futures market, or rephrase, the futures and the local cash market are not going to pay you just to store the grain and deliver it later.
Thank you very much, Frain. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to visit. Always something new to talk about.
Indeed, there is. Frain Olson is with NDSU. He's an Extension Agricultural Economist on the Fargo campus there. Just a reminder that tomorrow, USDA will release the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. That happens at 11 a.m. Central Time. And then tomorrow night, Tractor Wars will air on WILL TV Channel 12. This is the documentary based on Neil Dahlstrom's book called Tractor Wars. We had a book signing with Neil last week at the All Day Ag Outlook. Again, tomorrow night, you can catch Tractor Wars on WILL TV Channel 12 at 7 p.m. Central Time. Been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.